Following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on March 10, 1995 in Sri Dham, Mayapur. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, Chapter 1, Verse 38 through 43.
There are innumerable devotees of the Lord, of whom Srivas Thakur is the foremost. I offer my respectful obeisances thousands of times unto the lotus feet. Ataitacharya Prabhu Rangsa Avatar Tar Pada Padme Koti Pranati Amar. Ataitacharya is the Lord's partial incarnation, and therefore I offer my obeisances millions of times at His lotus feet. Nityananda Rai Prabhu Sarupa Prakash Tar Pada Padma Bandho Jar Munidas. Srila Nityananda Rama is the plenary manifestation of the Lord, and I have been initiated by Him. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto His lotus feet. Gadadhara Panditadi Prabhu Nijashakti Tasava Charane Mor Sahasaparati. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the internal potencies of the Lord, of whom Sri Gadadhara Prabhu is the foremost. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Sayang Bhagavan Tahar Podaravinde Ananta Pranam. Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the personality of Godhead Himself, and therefore I offer innumerable prostrations at His lotus feet. Avarane Prabhur Koriya Namaskar Echai Teho Jaiche Koriye Vichar. Having offered obeisances unto the Lord and all His associates, I shall now try to explain these six diversities in one. Purport. There are many unalloyed devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all of whom are considered associates surrounding the Lord. Krishna should be worshipped with His devotees. The diverse principles are therefore the eternal paraphernalia through which the Absolute Truth can be approached. Sometimes it's very difficult to understand the Lord and all His associates. What is the way that a devotee should fix the mind upon the associates of the Lord? So here Srila Prabhupada explains that there are many unalloyed devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all of whom are considered associates surrounding the Lord. Krishna should be worshipped with His devotees. So all these associates, they're surrounding the Lord, they're unalloyed devotees, they're serving Him. The Lord should not be worshipped alone, but He should always be worshipped with His devotees. Srila Prabhupada explained that Krishna is always with His devotees. In Vrindavan, He's with the cows and the cowherd boys and the cowherd girls and the Mother Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj, and all the Vrajavasis. If there was ever a picture of Krishna without another devotee, without a devotee of Krishna, just Krishna alone, then Prabhupada would object that there should always be some devotee, some associate of the Lord, at least a cow, a surabhi, or some devotee of the Lord. Should not be pictured alone. That's an impersonal thought. An impersonalization of Krishna, that God is simply alone. Lord Krishna is never alone. He's always associated with so many, he's always in association of so many different types of devotees. And how do these devotees help us? Or what are we to consider them as in terms of our own spiritual progress is given here by Srila Prabhupada. The diverse principles are therefore the eternal paraphernalia through which the Absolute Truth can be approached. The diverse principles, meaning these diverse, the diverse devotees who are manifesting different spiritual principles, they're personalizing different qualities, or you can say different qualities are specifically manifested through different devotees. And by all these different devotees, by worshipping them, by understanding them, their ways, by their blessing we can get to Krishna. They're the means by which the Absolute Truth can be approached. Here we are fallen into the material world, far away from the Absolute Truth. And to approach the Absolute Truth, then we need to go through his paraphernalia, through his devotees. So then Krishna Das Kala begins with our first link with the transcendental realm. Jatapi amar guru chaitanya das, tatapi janiye ami tahar prakash. Although I know that my spiritual master is a servitor of Sri Chaitanya, I know him also as a plenary manifestation of the Lord. Prabhupada explains in the purport, every living entity is essentially a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the spiritual master is also his servant. Still, the spiritual master is a direct manifestation of the Lord. With this conviction, a disciple can advance in Krishna consciousness. The spiritual master is not different from Krishna because he is a manifestation of Krishna. Lord Nityananda, who is Balaram himself, the first direct manifestation or expansion of Krishna, is the original spiritual master. He helps Lord Krishna in his pastimes, and he is a servant of the Lord. Every living entity is eternally a servant of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Therefore, the spiritual master cannot be other than a servant of Lord Chaitanya. The spiritual master's eternal occupation is to expand the service of the Lord by training disciples in a service attitude. A spiritual master never poses as the Supreme Lord himself. He is considered a representative of the Lord. The revealed scriptures prohibit ones pretending to be God. But a bona fide spiritual master is the most faithful and confidential servant of the Lord, and therefore deserves as much respect as Krishna. Krishna Das Kaviraj's initiating guru is Lord Nityananda, who is directly the plenary expansion of Lord Krishna. He is the original guru. All spiritual masters are considered an external manifestation of Lord Krishna's mercy. And they are also the representatives of Lord Nityananda, representatives of Lord Krishna. So a disciple sees one's own spiritual master as a way that Krishna is helping us externally. Prabhupada explains that Krishna is helping us from within as Chaitanya Guru. As the internal super soul, he's giving us guidance. And from externally, he's helping us as the spiritual master. Guru Krishna Rupohon Shastra Pramani Guru Rupe Krishna Kripa Koren Bhakta Gane. According to the deliberate opinion of all revealed scriptures, the spiritual master is not different from Krishna. Lord Krishna, in the form of the spiritual master, delivers his devotees. Therefore, the relationship of a disciple with his spiritual master is as good as his relationship with the Supreme Lord. A spiritual master always represents himself as the humblest servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for the disciple must look upon him as the manifested representation of Godhead. Very subtle philosophy. Many traditions in the world that don't understand why, what they consider why a man should be worshipped. Although they accept sons of God, prophets, and many other categories of worshipable personalities who are connected to the Supreme Lord, but somehow the concept of Guru is not well understood around the world. Here Krishnadas Kaviraj is very nicely explaining how simultaneously the Guru is always considering himself the most humble servitor of the Lord, never considers himself to be the Lord, and taking the service of training his disciples in service attitude. But Krishna is working through the Vyamidhi of the Guru, and therefore, for the disciple, the Guru is respected like one respects Krishna, because he has the quality of Krishna, the quality of mercy. So, today we're discussing also about Advaita Acharya, who was the spiritual master that brought Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into the material world by his devotion, by his worship. He was an external, a visible cause, because he prayed for Lord Chaitanya to come down. It was touched on this morning, also in the plan, how Advaita Acharya worshipped Tulasi, worshipped Shaligram Shila with Manjari Tulasi flowers, Ganges water, and fasting, and loud crying. Advaita Gosai has many followers, just like there were followers of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, and there are also followers of Advaita Acharya, which are mentioned in the 12th chapter of the Adi-lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Advaita Acharya lived 125 years. He was born in what is now the greater district of Srihatta. Now Bangladesh has divided, and Bangladesh divided their old districts into many sub-districts. Many new districts have been formed from the old big district. So it used to be Srihatta, now it's a new district, but that was a subdivision of the old. The Advaita is a acharya here in a place which is very close to the Indian border of Meghalaya. On the Saptami day in the month of Magh, just before the Nityananda Chaudhisi. It's a Sukla Saptami. He appeared in the family of Kuvera Pandit, and his mother's name was Nava Devi. Although he was born there, then he moved to a place called Navahatta, and from there he came to Shantipur. He also had a residence here in Navadvip Dham. He appeared in something like, was it 1434 or 1443, I forget. Christian calendar. It means that when Lord Chaitanya appeared in 1486, he was already about 50 years old. By the time Lord Chaitanya was starting the Sankirtan movement, he was in his 60s. But he lived to be 125 years old. So he was present even after Lord Chaitanya left the world. Lord Chaitanya was only in the planet visibly for 48 years. So Advaita Acharya, he was doing his worship in Shantipur. And at that time, Aravinda Puri, he was going from Vrindavan toward Jagannath Puri, and if necessary, South India, because his Gopal deity was very hot. He found the Gopal deity in the forest in Vrindavan, by the side of Govardhan. And had a big installation. The deity was there, abandoned for a long time because of in the forest, because of the Mughal rulers, the Mohammedan rulers in those days used to go and break the deity. So they hid the deity in the forest. But Madhavendra Puri discovered that deity by, that's a whole other wonderful pastime. And the deity said he's feeling very hot and he wants some sandalwood to cool him down. There was no sandalwood available in that area. So Madhavendra Puri went down the path of the Jamuna and the Ganges. He didn't like to travel in the main path because there saw that all the materialistic people would ask him for blessings of a materialistic kind. This is sannyasi. This happened to me once. I was in Silchar, Assam, and one lady offered her obeisances right on the street. She paid her obeisances and started trying to touch my feet, and, you know, I holding hands, and she started crying, and she said, please have your blessings on me. Ashirvad Dao, Ashirvad Dao, I want your blessing. So I was curious to what blessing she wanted rather than give a blank check. So I asked her, what is the blessing you want? And she was crying and, you know, very humbly coming, and she's saying, you know, my son has got a tumor or in his stomach or some kind of stomach ache. I didn't know so much Bengali in those days. Something wrong with his stomach. Pet kharab. And because of this stomach problem, she was very worried about her son's health. So she wanted a blessing that her son would recover very quickly from his stomach ache. So I redirected her and said, you should go and pray to Krishna in the temple there. We were outside the Radhisham Sundar temple. He's the Supreme Lord. My department is the Krishna Bhakti, not stomach cure. So it's quite common for people to come out and ask for blessings from sadhus and sannyasis, but then sometimes there's so many people coming, but none of them really want to get the real jewel that a great devotee like Madhavendra Puri could give. He can give pure love to Krishna. He can give the devotional service to Krishna, which is a cure of all problems. Even the problem of being here in the material world, the problem of our forgetfulness of Krishna, and so many problems. And all material problems as well. So rather than be disturbed either by people that are coming and asking for so many mundane blessings, or seeing people engaged in various mundane activities, he'd go off the main path. Also, he didn't want to meet any other sannyasis because he was the only Vaishnava sannyasi, you know, practically on the whole North India. All the sannyasis in those days were Mayavadi sannyasi, followers of Shankaracharya. And all they would greet each other by saying, Om Namo Narayanaya. I offer my obeisances to you, O Narayan. And they would be talking all these offensive things that they are God. Not the description we heard of a bona fide spiritual master, that he considers himself always the most humble servitor of the Lord, but rather these Mayavadis are considering themselves to be God by their impersonalist philosophy. So meeting down was also not really pleasing to Madhavendra Puri. So he was going down by the side of the Ganges. Sometimes when we want to walk by the side of the Ganges, then the devotees say, no, no, don't go that way. You know, materialistic people, they use the side of the rivers for things which we don't want to mention here. They leave their dirty things there on the side of the path. So most people don't walk on that pathway. Of course, it's sad that people do such things. It was so painful to Pundarik Vidyanidhi that he wouldn't go to the Ganges in the daytime because he couldn't bear to see people passing their nature call on the side of the sacred river. He'd go in the night when everybody was asleep and he could just see the Ganges in the moonlight and offer his prayers and not have to see all these offensive activities going on. In fact, it's one of my proposals to the development committee that somewhere here alongside the Ganges we have like a sterile zone in front of our temple where we have, you know, public latrines and guards, and at least have a section of the Ganges where in the future as our city develops, none of these activities would be permitted as far as possible to restrict such things. Anyway, Madhavendra Puri, walking alongside the Ganges, somehow he walked in the ashram of Advaita Acharya. He was seated worshipping his Shaligram Shiva. His house is right on the side of the Ganges. If you go to Shantipur, if you've been to Shantipur, how many have been to Shantipur? So you can see, right next to his house, there's the indentation. You can see where the old riverbed of the Ganges flowed. It comes right up to Advaita Acharya's house. In fact, even now, in the rainy season, old river bank still flows with some water, although it's not connected. The Ganges has a way of curving back and forth. So when it makes a big loop, then the it may have made look like this. The distance, like a hairpin curve, the distance between, there's a very short distance, you know, actually the land mass between the Ganges becomes very narrow in some places, or this looping like that. So what happens is that after some time, the Ganges just cuts through. It's called the river experts, what do they call it? I forget this technical name. They say that's a cutoff. That's what they. This is what's happened over here at Vidoya. It's cut off. And now the whole loop going by Mamagachi and Purvastali, Madhudramdui, is now just the old riverbed, but still there's water because it only got cut off 2-3 years ago. So gradually what happens, that might even dry up. In the future, we may not even be able to go by river. We don't know what the Ganges has in store. So what happens is that you find the places where the Ganges is here, and then all of a sudden it shifts 8 miles away, 5 kilometers away, just because where the Ganges used to flow, it now is cut short, but then it starts to loop again, and again cuts, and this is going on since millions of years. So you'll find pathways of the Ganges quite far. Even sometimes you'll see that the Ganges, of course, shifts drastically up to even 14 kilometers overnight in a very short time. Right now, one engineer saw me when we were in the other side of the river, said that right now the Ganges is almost trying to bypass the big bridge they have here. If you saw what I noticed when we went down, that the Ganges is trying to cut its way around the bridge. If it cuts around the bridge will be standing there with no Ganges underneath it. It become useless. So they're trying to figure out how to keep the Ganges flowing under the bridge. The Ganges of 1970s, when we were first, we had to walk almost 2 kilometers to get to the Ganges, 1.5 kilometers. And now the Ganges is within 100 meters of the road. So this way, the Ganges was flowing right by the ashram of Advaita Gosai. But then the Ganges shifted and now it's flowing about 3-4 kilometers away by Ambika Kulman. So Madhavendra Puri, he walked right into the ashram of Advaita Gosai. And then he was very surprised to hear Vaishnava. Advaita Gosai, obviously he had the signs of Vaishnava, shaved hair, tilak, kunti mala. He said, this is a Vaishnava. And Advaita Goswami was saying here was a sannyasi, but he was with he was a Vaishnava also, tilak and kunti mala. He was very amazed to see a Vaishnava sannyasi. It's like unheard of in those days in that part of India. So immediately Advaita Goswami offered his obeisances and invited Madhavendra Puri to sit down. He offered him respect and received him. They started to discuss. They found out each other's identity and they started to discuss about Krishna consciousness and the glories of Lord Krishna. Advaita Goswami requested Madhavendra Puri to please allow us to cook for you. Offer you some Krishna prasadam, which he accepted, and then the wife of Advaita Gosai prepared prasadam and offered to the deity, and they gave Madhavendra Puri. Again, they were discussing late into the night. And this way, Advaita Gosami, we were very impressed by Madhavendra Puri and inspired by his devotion. Although he only stayed there a very short time, Advaita Gosai, though he is a very traveling mendicant, there will be no opportunity to see him again, possibly, or we don't know when he'll be seen again, and one should take opportunity. So he begged for initiation from Madhavendra Puri, and he got the formal initiation. The Brahmanas, in there, when they reach somewhere between 6 to 15 years of age, they're given Upanayanam from the father, which is just the first, this one mantra, one Vedic mantra, the Savitri Gayatri. When they receive that, then they are given the right to read and study Vedas. After that, and to do various types of services, but they need to find still a bona fide spiritual master, at which time they're given Pancharatrik mantras, and accepting a spiritual master, a very important phase, essential phase. So not all the brahmanas have got spiritual masters. They have the family guru, the father and his guru are a family tradition, but initiation, a formal initiation, an accepting of a guru in that sense, is not there. In fact, you can find in Madhva Sampradaya in South India, the only people who are initiated like that, the acharyas, the acharya came here, Vishesha Tirtha Maharaj, the Pejwar Mutt. So they only initiate maybe one or two disciples who will be the next acharyas in their mutt after them. And all the brahmanas are just the disciples, but they're just respected, but they're not formally initiated. So some people have traditions like that. Ramanuja, he initiated many more people, even in non-brahmanas, and made them brahmanas. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disciple succession, the expanding the family of devotees and initiating was very prominent. In fact, Nityananda's son sometimes would perform 1,000 initiations in one day, which is kind of inconceivable. He was Kirudaksha Vishnu, so it's no difficulty all the time. Then how the son or grandson of the Hussein Shah went on a program of converting Hindus to Muslims by force. But then Virchandra would go and go on with this. 500 people were all converted. He went and initiated them all as Vaishnavas and made 1,000 Muslims as all pure Vaishnavas, bringing them to the fold of pure Krishna consciousness. So, a very dynamic creature, expanding the number of devotees. So Advaita Gosai, he took initiation from Madhavendra Puri in that holy place. And Madhavendra Puri continued on south until he got to... Then he left the Ganges path and went to Jagannath Puri. En route he was visited the Ramuna deity, and there the pastime with Kirchhu Gopinath, where the deity of Gopinath stole the condensed milk from Madhavendra Puri, occurred. Madhavendra Puri was blessed in that way by Gopinathji. When he got to Jagannath Puri, the king agreed to give him sandalwood to put on his Gopal deity in Vrindavan. When Madhavendra Puri was going back towards Vrindavan, he would have to go on back to Bihar and to very difficult places where there are many robbers and dacoits and carrying, even now, some of the most notorious gangs of dacoits in India are the ones in the sandalwood forest in South India. Hirapan or something? Escaping for how many years? They can't catch him. They get him yet?
No.
He smuggles out sandalwood logs, which are being incense. How much it costs per kilo now, sandalwood?
Something like that, 10,000 rupees.
10,000 rupees for 1 kilo of sandalwood. Wood. So you can imagine in those days, it was like a priceless commodity only. So there he is taking a whole block cart of sandalwood back to Vrindavan. It would be very difficult. But still he was fearlessly doing his service. When he got to Ramuna, the Gopinath deity gave him an instruction. His Gopal deity told Madhavendra Puri that you put the sandalwood on Gopinath, he's not different from me, and then I'll get cooled down by that. So Madhavendra Puri, he then remained there. So Advaita Gosai was very merciful to all the fallen souls. Advaita Gosami was seeing the whole world in a very materialistic situation. He studied that the people were not understanding the real purpose of religion. They were not practicing God consciousness, but rather they were performing some superficial religious rituals simply for some material purpose. Nobody was actually feeling love for God and performing services out of love for God. He is noticing in those days people were doing such religious activities like giving their daughter in marriage, the very pious activity to see that one's daughter has got a good, pious husband and is taken care of. But what happened is, apart from the pious deed of marrying the daughter, known as Kondadan. It became a social status symbol, how big and luxurious a wedding ceremony you can put on for your daughter. So it became a competition. Who can have a bigger feast, bigger festival, bigger arrangement, a bigger band, a fancier turban for the bridegroom, and so on and so forth. So then they got it, well, people ran out of daughters, you know, it's like somebody else had a bigger wedding and they got defeated and they wanted to get back. So then somebody gave a suggestion, why don't you marry a deity, install two deities, one of Shiva and Parvati, you can marry them. And you can, on that excuse, you can have another big wedding ceremony. So they make a clay deity of Shiva and Parvati and put on a big wedding ceremony for them. But then somebody else said, well, it became like ordinary, everybody was doing it. So then someone thought, let's do something even more far out. And they performed a big Vedic wedding ceremony for a male and female dog. Changing garlands and everything. Some people do wedding ceremonies for trees, wedding two trees together. So the whole thing was getting really far out, completely off the track. And Advaita Goswami would say, what is all this? They're not, you know, in name it's supposed to be religion, but in fact it's simply putting on a show for their own name and fame. They completely lost the track. People are worshipping the devas to get material benefit, and they weren't understanding that Krishna is a super soul, he's in the heart of all the devas. And only by his blessing will any deva give their benedictions to their devotees. And that all love and worship is actually meant for Lord Krishna. So you were seeing people performing so many different austerities and rituals, but all just for some mundane purpose. He felt overwhelmed at that whole sight, and how will I be able to redirect all these people to Krishna? Krishna himself can only give his own bhakti. So I'm going to pray to Krishna to come down into this world. When Lord Krishna comes, he can give his devotion to everyone. So then Advaita Gosai, he decided to bring Lord Chaitanya down into the world. The most merciful form of Lord Krishna. Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradaya Te Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Dhamme Gaura Tushe Namo Namaha. So we offer our humble obeisances to Sri Advaita Gosai, by whose mercy Chaitanya Gosai has come down into this world, by whose mercy the conditioned souls get the opportunity to serve Lord Krishna by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Nartam Das Thakur prayed, Sitapati, Doyakoro Sitapati, Advaita Gosai, Tavaki Pavole Thai, Chaitanya Nithai. Please have your mercy on me, O Sitapati, the husband of the goddess of fortune, Sita Thakurani, Advaita Gosai. By your mercy, one can get the lotus feet of Sri Gaura and Nithai. Nithai Gaura Sita Nath Vimanandi. If you go to Shantipur and say Nithai Gaura Hari Bol, someone may run at you with a stick. So why you want to beat me? You didn't say Sita Nath. You said Nithai Gaura Sita Nath. If you go to Akachakra, Nityananda's Dham, you say Gaura Nithai, then they get angry sometimes. They say, why, Nithai Gaura? By mercy of Nithai, you get mercy of Gaura. So the safest thing is to say Nithai Gaura Sita Nath. Nithai Gaura Sita Nath Vimanandi! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Any question? Hare Krishna. Okay. Prabhu.
When you were speaking about Madhavendra Puri being a Vaishnava sannyasi coming north, it reminded me of a question that in that sampradaya, there are several different names for different types of sannyasis. There's Sarasvati, Bharati, Tirtha, Puri. So Madhavendra Puri is spiritual mouthful when we look at the disciplic succession of Lakshmipati Tirtha. So generally when a sannyasi of the Tirtha order initiates someone, that person becomes a Tirtha. But the Sarasvati, they initiate someone, that person becomes a Sarasvati. So how is it that Lakshmipati Tirtha's disciple is Madhavendra Puri?
Nobody ever asked me that one before. Well, Lord Chaitanya was Advaita, excuse me. Lord Chaitanya was initiated by Kesha Bharati, but then he kept the Brahmachari name. Because normally the Brahmacharis under the Bharati Sannyasis are called Chaitanya. So he gave Lord Chaitanya the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So also in that, there was some exception. So sometimes there were exceptions, but specifically I'd have to research it. Why Madhavendra Puri is Puri and not a Tirtha. If there's any way to find out.
I also heard that,
you probably know the answer too. Now, there's two versions. Some say that when he was traveling in South India, he met Lakshmi Pati Tirtha, and he took initiation there. And then there's also a version that says that he took initiation at some point in time from Madhavendra Puri. So in that case, there is a contradictory two statements. But since Srila Prabhupada mentions that even in some purport, there's a double version. So, but whether you accept as the godbrother of Advaita Gosai or the godbrother of his guru, in any case, he was considered an older spiritual uncle in relation to Lord Chaitanya. So he was like an older uncle or older brother of Lord Chaitanya. That one, there's an admitted dual report coming down. I don't know if anyone did a detailed study as to which report is the most accurate. We generally accept, well, actually Prabhupada, he said he mentioned both, to my recollection. Yes? Who is that? Well, he's a Grihastha Goswami. He was controlling all of his senses in the Grihastha Ashram. He's known as the Gosai. And Chaitanya Charitamrita refers to him like that. Gosai or Goswami. Gosai is like a Bengali version of Goswami. Or another version, another way of saying Goswami. Go means senses and Swami means controller. One who's the controller of the senses is Goswami. So Advaita was definitely completely in control of his senses. He could perform pretty great devotional services and austerities. He didn't get that because Goswami is one of the names given to sannyasis. Swami, Goswami, Puri, Tirtha, Bharati. In ISKCON, we just generally use the name Swami and Goswami. But in the Gaudiya Mat, they use the 108 Vaishnava names for sannyasis. That's why someone may have the name Narayan Maharaj, Tirtha Maharaj, Puri Maharaj, Shanta Maharaj, Parvat Maharaj, and so on, 108, Govinda Maharaj. That, instead of Swami, like Sridhar Maharaj, instead of the name Swami, Swami is one of the 108 sannyas names, but Swami is also a title for a sannyasi. Like all sannyasis could be called Swami, or Swamiji, or Goswamijis. But also some Swamis, some sannyasis have the sannyas name of Swami, or Goswami. So to simplify, Prabhupada has been using these two names. That's why one time someone mentioned, we have our Sridhar Swami Maharaj. Right? Sridhar Swami Maharaj is who, our godbrother minister of the, you know, the official title, Krishna Conscious Fundraising. And, but then there's like, Prabhupada's godbrother, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj. His sannyas name was Sridhar. So this is not that we're saying Advaita Gosai or Advaita Goswami is a sannyasi. This is not a sannyasi. But he's a very elevated personality. And therefore he could also be given the name Goswami. But not as a sannyas, but just as an elevated personality. The Prabhupada was criticizing that it's really a title, just like some people are given the title Acharya. Advaita Acharya was a title given to him by his teacher, who recognized his great learning. So sometime when you're very learned in Sanskrit or learned in the Shastra, then some academy would give you the title Acharya. Just like people get bachelor's and master's and PhD degrees. Previously they would get titles like Acharya or Tirtha, different titles. So Advaita was, as a Grihastha, he was given the title Acharya also. Srinivas Acharya was given the title Acharya by the Goswamis in Vrindavan. Sharmananda was given the title Pandit. So these are different titles that were given affectionately and respectfully by the Vaishnava community. So that way Advaita also was given, he was respected by the name Gosai or Goswami. The Prabhupada did not prove that. People took it as a hereditary title. Now you have got the Goswamis of Vrindavan and the Goswamis of Shantipur. They keep the last name Goswami, so-and-so Goswami. They're hereditarily handing it down. But they may not be actually Goswamis by qualification. They become Goswamis by title. So Advaita Gosai, he was an Acharya and he was a Goswami by qualification. He wasn't a sannyasi. Now the arti started.
Is there sannyasa lila in the spiritual world?
Sannyasa lila in the spiritual world. No need of taking sannyasa. Sannyasa is civil death. No death, no birth in the spiritual world. No need of renouncing there. Simply to serve Krishna. Sannyasa is for this material world. To get purified. It's a purificatory rite. That's why there's no need of Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas, because he didn't need to be purified. He was already pure. That's why Lord Nityananda was upset. He had taken sannyas, he took his danda and broke it in three parts and threw it in the river near Puri. So one is because why he should carry a danda or why he should take austerities, he's the Supreme Lord. The other was why he should have a single danda, which is a Mayavadi sannyasi. Should break it in the three, has now three dandi. The Vaishnava sannyasi. But, so many Vaishnavas, they were not taking sannyas, they were going directly and taking Babaji and claiming to be Paramahamsas. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he actually reestablished his principle of taking sannyas. Because people were cheapening the whole thing. They explained that Vaishnava is very elevated position, transcendental to the Varnashram. So out of humility, they're taking the position of sannyas, the lower than the transcendental position. It's within the Varnashram, within the material sphere. They're doing this for purification. So he was doing that to establish what is the actual position of the Vaishnava. The people complain why the Vaishnava is wearing a saffron cloth. Vaishnava should wear white cloth. And this way many neophyte people who actually have no spiritual understanding, they would just wear white cloth and claim to be transcendental and then do all kind of nonsense. But if you're a sannyasi, then you have to strictly follow at least the Vedic rules of Satya Guna, which the so-called Paramahamsas were in the Kamaguna. They were doing unmentionable things. So by establishing sannyas, at least people in sannyas have to act in the mode of goodness. And if one person is really a Paramahamsa, then that will be revealed by qualification, not by some artificial means. Maharaj, you had a question? The last question, and Peter Walsh will go to class.
Is
there actually difference between the titles Swami and Goswami? Or these terms are interchangeable? For sannyasis, it's interchangeable. We do see that there are some grihasthas were given the title of Goswami, but I never heard of a grihastha being given the title of Swami. Well, generally what Prabhupada did, those who were grihasthas and later on they took sannyas, he gave them the name Goswami. And those who were always brahmacharis and from brahmachari they took sannyas, he gave the name Swami. That's the kind of tradition we've seen. Although there might be some exception, but by and large that was the system. The Kamal Krishna Maharaj, he was for some time a grihastha, so he was given the name Goswami. Well, others, they were not married, so they got the name Swami. Bhakti Chura Swami. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Sivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.